listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear great ideas, insight, and inspiration to level up your leadership ability.
Hey, everyone. It's John Barrett on the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. Welcome back. It is so good to have you. We're going to help level you up so you don't level out your influence, your impact. As we always say, it is great to have you here. Hey, listen, I appreciate being able to add value to you and level you up as a leader. That's what I'm all about. It's what I'm passionate about. Today, I want to talk about five ways to lead like you're in customer service. Five ways to lead like you're in customer service. I'm going to share a thought with you today that is going to hopefully kind of flip your mindset inside out a little bit. Here's the deal. What if the people that you lead were your customers? Think about that. If your team was a paying customer of your leadership, would they come back tomorrow? Would they refer their friends? Would they leave a five-star review for you? Uh-oh. Because here's the truth. They're already doing it. The truth is they are your customers. Every leader, whatever is on your team, whoever is on your team, whatever you're leading, the people that you're around, they are your customers. They are there trying to decide if they're going to follow you, if they're going to buy into this, and your vision, your communication, your consistency. They're trying to decide if they want what you're selling or they don't. So my friend, as a leader, you are in customer service because your team and everyone that you lead, they are your customers. And like any great brand, if their experience, your team, the people that you're leading, if it's not exceptional, if it's not incredible, your team is going to walk away. They're going to quietly just begin to kind of fade out. They're going to stop using your services. They're going to stop giving you everything they've got. Just like a customer may eventually just stop buying your product, go find a better product somewhere else, or maybe just kind of stop using it as often and like, oh, I don't really want it. And eventually it just fades away. So you've got to understand that you are in customer service as a leader, your team or customers. We're going to dive into this today, and we're going to talk what you have to do to lead like that. In fact, I'm going to give you five tips to be able to kind of lead in a way that sees your team as your customers and in a way that helps level them up. But let me just kind of start by saying this. We live in a review-based world. You know that? When you go buy something, what's one of the first things that you probably do? You go look at the reviews. You go, especially on Amazon or something like that, you're going to look. How many stars? How many ratings? How many other people have bought it? Do they really like it? We live in a review-based world. On all of our online services, you get an Uber ride, you kind of look at that. I mean, you everywhere you go. In fact, if you see something physically in a store, you're probably going to look it up and think, is this the best thing? Is this what other people say about this? Everything gets rated. Everybody's getting reviewed everywhere that you're at. Here's the question that we don't ask enough in leadership is this. If your team could rate your leadership like a customer service or like a customer rates their services, how many stars would you get? Have you ever thought about that? Do you know what your team would actually rate you? Now, not your opinion on it, because most of us would probably say, oh, it's probably pretty good. I mean, I really care for them. I'm trying to do my best. But no. If your team could truly rate your leadership, just like a customer rates the services that they get, how many stars would you get? What would your review be like? What would the written review be like? Now, that can sting a little bit, because you got to think about, are they feeling heard, valued? Are they feeling respected, empowered, and able to do what they need to do? Or do they just maybe feel like another transactional kind of thing on your to-do list? Or do they even get that much of you? Are you just kind of disappearing as a leader? Or when you do come in as a leader, are you coming in so hard at times and not connecting with them, but just kind of barking out orders and doing this and that? I mean, this all impacts your ability to have influence, your ability to connect with your team. So I want you to think about this, because I wish that we had some systems, and there are some out there, some 360 reviews and different things like that. But I'm telling you, you've got to understand how you're doing as a leader. And you've got to go to your team and have some of those conversations sometimes and say, hey, listen, how am I doing as your leader? What do you need more from me? What do you need less from me? Hey, how are things going? If you were to give me a rating, what would you give me right now? Now, I know that's an intimidating question, and most people are probably going to be, you know, very gracious in that because they don't want to have conflict or whatever it is. But you need to think about ways that you can develop some connection with your team so that you can truly seek out that feedback. Listen, most leaders don't ask that because they don't want to hear. They don't want to know. But the problem is when you rate yourself just based on yourself, if you're giving your own review of yourself, it's probably always going to be really good. You can't do that. In fact, I go to leaders all the time and I say, are you a great leader? And I just ask them that question. And you know, most leaders, they kind of get a little stumped. It's like, well, I mean, I don't know if I'm great. I mean, I think I'm okay or good. But here's what I do is I stop and say, well, listen, regardless if you think you're a bad leader or the best leader that ever existed, it doesn't matter what you think. Listen, who determines if you're a really great leader? You? Of course not. Who determines that? Your team. Your team, your customers determine if you're a great leader or not. The problem is most leaders are rating themselves based on their own scoring system. Well, I really care. I mean, I really, you know, do you know all the hard work I do for them? I mean, I should rate myself pretty high. It's like rating your own product and saying, well, I think it's a 5-star and it's the best product I've ever seen. Well, of course you do. But you've got to get real honest and get real humble and begin to realize that you've got to solicit some feedback from those that you lead. You got to understand that just like in customer service, we need to make sure that the customer is getting what they want, that they're happy, that they're flourishing, that they're getting their problems solved, all those things. But we have to understand that as a leader, you've got to think about this. And I would say too many leaders are not thinking about this. They're not treating their team like customer service. They're treating them sometimes like they're the master and then they're just going to work for them and do what they want. I'm the boss. Make it happen. I pay you to do this. It's like, whoa, 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 slow down. Because anyone on your team could walk at any moment. They don't have to stay with you. They don't have to. In fact, there's a lot of people that are leaving the workforce, that are leaving people in that because they don't want to be there anymore. And I'll tell you, they call it the mass exodus. And the, you know, the great resignation is what it was called years ago. And that's still going on to some degree. People in the younger generation are not just going to stick around being treated like they're some number, like they're cattle, like they're just a statistic, being told what to do everything with no autonomy, no authority, no influence, no ability to collaborate and come together and let their side be heard. That's not going to work. Now, you probably know that if you're listening to this because you're probably pretty intuitive as a leader. But listen, we have to understand that great leadership treats their team like customers and they make sure that they connect. Well, how do we do that? Okay, let me give you 5 thoughts today that I think are going to be really helpful that are really important for you to lead like you are in customer service and to be able to impact and influence your team. Number one is this. You have to know what they value. You've got to know what they value. Just like anyone that would try to go and market a product, they have to get into their customer's mindset. What is it that they value? What's important to them? How do we know how to package this? How do we know how to put together marketing resources if we don't know the avatar, the client, the customer that we're trying to reach? How do you know as a leader how to lead your team if you don't know what each team member on your team values? This is the difference between chess and checkers. You've heard me talk about this before, that in checkers, you treat every piece the same, right? It's kind of a kid's game. Everything just kind of moves diagonal and everybody moves the same. You treat the board like the same. And it's pretty child's play. But great leadership is more like chess, where every piece moves very different. They're motivated differently. They all have, some have the capacity to move down really far, some not as much. Some go to the left or right. Some just go down, some diagonal. You get the point. Everybody's wired different. And great leaders do not play checkers with their people. No, 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 no. That is a limiting leadership. That is a immature leadership where a leader says, well, this is how I lead, deal with it. This is how I treat everybody. And this is what I do. Now, certainly value everybody the same and have the same standards in terms of the result, but how you go about working with them should look very different with every person that you lead. Some people need a little bit more time, encouragement. Some people you got to be a little more direct with. Some people that they're going to need a little bit more of your time to work with them. Some they need a little more autonomy and less micromanaging. You get the point, but you have to understand you got to know what they value. Listen, you don't win loyalty by your team by just giving them what you want. You win it by giving them what they value the most. So you've got to connect the tasks and all the requests that you're asking them to do and the things that you want them to do with trying to figure out what they're motivated by, what they value. So you ask questions like, what makes you feel fulfilled in your role here in our organization on our team? Hey, what would make your job easier, for you able to operate in your strengths a little more? Hey, how can I better support you? What is it that you need the most from me as your leader that I could give you? That is humble leadership right there. That is customer service type leadership, where you are connecting with the customer to find out what they need. That doesn't mean that you don't have a list of your own needs. Yes, you've got a product. You've got something that you need to get into their hands. You've got requests and responsibility and things that they need to get done. But you got to figure out how to connect the dots so that you can really win those customers over in a way that influences them. So remember, great customer service starts with knowing your customer, knowing what they value. Get in their mind. Put yourself in their shoes a little bit. Don't just try to get them to always, you know, in your shoes and say, well, you need to see it the way that I see it. This is the way that it should be done. You need to see it my way. Listen, you've got to be able to work together and collaborate there. So know what they value. Number two that I want you to think about is this: over-communicate. There is nothing worse, and you know this to be true, than if you're trying to reach out to customer service and you can't get a hold of anyone. Let me tell you, I've got my war stories and horror stories. You've got yours and that. There's probably even, you know, businesses that you boycott because you've been so frustrated by their customer service. You're like, I'm never buying from them again. I'm never shopping there again in my life because of the way that you were treated, because you couldn't communicate and they didn't communicate well. So listen, you've got to over-communicate and over-communicate well, positively, and connect with them, not just communication, but good communication. And you need to think about this communication scale. I teach on this a lot, and I've talked about this on my YouTube channel, how to level up your leadership with John Barrett, where I do a visual kind of lesson each month. But I talked about the communication scale. And basically, if you were to rate your communication on a scale 1 to 10, what would you give yourself? Let's just say you give yourself a 7. You're like, oh, I'm not amazing, but I'm not bad. I'd say I'd give myself a 7. Well, here's the problem with that. That's great that you gave yourself a 7. Here's the problem. Your team is going to receive that always kind of -2. So at best, they're probably hearing that at a 5. So whatever you rate yourself, you almost have to just say it's a -2, -2 based on what they hear. So if you are at a 5, if you think, well, I'm not really over communicating a whole lot, I don't do a great job with my team, I'd probably give myself a 5. Where they're at a 3 then, because it's always -2 in how it's heard and what their feeling is about it. So if you think you're at a 9, you're probably at a 7 with your team. So in order to get to a 7, 8, 9, 10 of communication from the receiver, your team, you've got to be firing on 9, 10, and even off the charts. You've got to over-communicate is what I'm saying. You've got to make sure that you over-communicate. Never assume that you've communicated, because here's what you can always assume, is that it's going to be -2, whatever you think it is. That's how the communication scale works. And that's not a negative thing. That's just something that has to challenge us to say, we better make sure that our communication is, number one, crystal clear, but also that we over-communicate it. So you've got to be clear. If you confuse, you lose, is what Donald Miller always says in marketing and that. If you confuse, you lose. And if you confuse your team, you're going to lose your team. And so just like when you're working with a customer, you got to over-communicate. You want to be there for them. You want to answer their questions. You want to be able to help them grab a hold of this product, the responsibility, the things that you're asking them to do. You want them to be able to get it. So you've got to over-communicate, and you've got to communicate very clearly, simply, not in jargon, not assuming that they get everything. Over-communicate. Number three thought is this: if you're going to be like a customer service leader with your team, you've got to deal hope. You've got to be a dealer of hope. Napoleon Bonaparte said a leader is a dealer of hope. If you want to be a great leader, you better be a hopeful leader. You can't walk around moping around and bad-mouthing everything and all that. If you're going to do that, you are going to kill your team, your organization, your influence, and all of that, because leaders, they deal hope. Now, I'm not saying that they're manipulative, they make it up, and they're just kind of speaking, just kind of making stuff up. No, I'm talking about being truly honest. Right? You can be honest with your team. It's okay to say, we are in a hard spot. We are struggling. Hey, we're having a hard time in the market. We're having a hard time with this client. Hey, we're having a hard time getting through this and that. You can be honest, but you've got to be hopeful. See, hopeful is a growth mindset. And so whenever I see leaders that aren't hopeful and that don't offer hope, I always look at them and say, are you even operating in a growth mindset? Because a fixed mindset has no hope. A fixed mindset, as Carol Dweck talked about in Growth Mindset and in that phenomenal book, term that she coined, growth mindset, comes from her. And one of the things she talked about was, with a fixed mindset, you have no hope. I mean, you think that the game is rigged. This is how it always be. It'll never change. It just is what it is. But growth mindset always is optimistic, saying there's a way. There's something that we can learn. We can get better. We can find a way to make this happen. So whenever I see leaders that aren't dealers of hope, when they just kind of walk around and badmouth and talk negative, and, you know, especially about those above them, I mean, you're talking to your team, you're saying, I don't know what they're doing up there. This is ridiculous. I mean, this company's not going to survive if they keep doing that. I mean, you are killing your organization. I'm telling you, number one, your team is going to get to a point where they're like, well, then I'm out. I'm out. And number two, eventually you're going to be out. Because if that gets back, I'm telling you, you know what, somebody I don't ever want on my team? Someone who's not hopeful. Someone who badmouths behind our back of other people in the organization. Listen, zero tolerance. You're out. We're done. We're done. There's no room for you in our organization. We are trying so hard to make a difference and fulfill our mission and create a great work environment. And if you do that, you are working 100% against what we're creating. Now, listen, there's a lot, zero tolerance, not a lot of tolerance for that kind of stuff. So I just want to challenge you, be a dealer of hope. And listen, you challenge your team to be dealers of hope. If you're leading some leaders that are kind of have influence in your organization around you, you better challenge them to walk around. Hey, be honest. It's okay. There's challenges. There's things that were going on, questions we may have, frustrations that we've got. But at the end of it, you always end with a hopeful statement. That is a growth mindset. Listen, hope is what keeps people coming back when the road gets tough. It keeps them emotionally invested in the mission. If you're not speaking life over your organization and your team, then you're speaking positively and being optimistic. Listen, then you're not painting a compelling picture of the future, and your team is going to just let go. Again, they're going to go to another product. They're going to say, well, I'm going to stop using this. So every great customer service representative knows that you've got to deal in hope. You've got to give your customer hope that they're going to be better off, that we're moving forward, we're going to grow, we're going to get through it. This is going to help you do that, and let's work together. Number four that I want you to think about in this is create raving fans. Create raving fans. This was a book years ago, Creating Raving Fans. And I love this, that if we think about our leadership being in customer service, we want to create raving fans, not because we want them to sing our praise. I'm not saying that in an egotistical, arrogant way that, you know, people are big fans of us and we're just a people pleaser and all that stuff. No, I'm talking about creating such a loyalty because we are so committed to our team, that we are developing them. We are committed to them. We care for them so much that our team members, our customers, that they are like, I love working for this person. I am a raving fan of my leader because they respect me. They listen to me. They give me opportunity. They trust me. They challenge me. They're there for me. And I know that I can count on them every time to do what's right. Listen, that's how you create a raving fan. If you want to be great at leadership, you begin to build trust, connection, care, respect, all these things with your team. Because when you create raving fans, you create loyalty. Listen to this, and you know this to be true. People don't leave organizations. They leave leaders. They don't leave organizations, very rarely. I mean, maybe every now and then, maybe from an ethical standpoint or moral standpoint or something like that, somebody may leave an organization because what they stand for, whatever. But 99% of people that leave an organization, they're not leaving the organization. They're leaving their manager. They're leaving their leader, a person that they didn't trust, respect, that they know that they weren't going to go anywhere, that this person was just going to always be kind of someone that with every day they come in the office, they're a pain to work for. And I'm telling you, that's what people leave. So if you want to create raving fans that come back again and again and again, that are loyal customers to you and to the organization, then you've got to build trust, respect. You've got to be respectable. You've got to be respectable. That means that you've got to be someone who respects others. I always find it so funny that I talk to leaders sometimes and they go, you know, I don't understand why my team doesn't trust me. And I go, okay, well, that's pretty interesting because how much do you trust those above you? Do you talk about them behind their back to your team? And, you know, they usually don't admit it, but the answer is yes. Every time you're bad-mouthing people around you to somebody else, guess what you're doing to that person you're spewing out to? They're probably looking at you going, geez, if you're going to talk that way about them behind their back, what are you going to do to me? You can't trust people that go around and badmouth people to other people behind their back and just try to tear them down. Listen, that is not being trustworthy. That is not being respectable. You can't demand respect from others if you don't respect other people. You cannot do it. You can't do it. And then get upset or frustrated that other people don't respect you when you're walking around talking about others. So listen, don't get me going on this. It's a hot topic for me. But I'm telling you, I see it in organizations, and it kills morale, and it kills the whole pipeline and the flow of leadership and building a great culture. Listen, there's nothing that will destroy a culture faster than disrespecting other people, talking behind their back, gossiping about them, and saying all this stuff and spreading all these kind of rumors and that, whether they're true or not or whatever it is. It's all destructive. It all is destroying everything around you. We are in the people business. As leaders, we're in the people business. You build people, you don't tear them down. You are constructive, not destructive. Great leaders are always trying to build raving fans and create them because they're always building others up. They're being trustworthy and they're trusting of others and they respect and they give people opportunity and they care for them. And whenever there's a problem, they try to dig in and say, hey, what's going on? If somebody's underperforming, they don't just get mad, the leader, and say, I don't know what their problem is. They're just not a hard worker. I'm just tired of these people that aren't hard workers. Go find out what's going on. I promise you, they probably want to give you more, but they might be dealing with something personal in their life that you need to know about. You need to connect on some level at least, or at least to give them some room to breathe. There may be other issues that you don't even know. Great leaders are willing to go in the trenches and just talk and figure out what's going on so that they can help. And it's because of that going above and beyond customer service that those customers come back and they're loyal to you. They're raving fans. And you know this to be true. Organizations that you go and shop at or buy things from, the ones that have treated you great and that have just been great to work with, you want to go back to them. You want to support them. You want to, even if they're at a higher price point sometimes, you're willing to pay a higher price because you love working with them. Listen, let me reverse that a little bit. Here's what I found in great leadership. I have found people on a team that I've talked with them. I have coached people on a team that said, John, listen, I've got offers from other organizations that want me to come work for them, and they're willing to pay me more money. But I love it here so much, and I love the environment and the team that I work with and my leader, that I am willing to stay here. I'd rather be here and make a little bit less, but be in a great environment than go to an unknown environment. Listen, I am telling you, it's happened. I'm not saying it always happens. Obviously, money talks, and it's powerful. But listen, that is true across the board. We have found, even Gallup has reported on this, that people are willing to work for a little bit less money if they know the culture is an incredible culture versus an unknown where they might make more money but be in a toxic culture, they'll leave. They'll take less money to be in a better environment. Now, I'm not saying that we stifle people's compensation because of that. I'm just saying this. It's powerful when you create raving fans, when you create customers that love where they're at because their leaders are connecting with them and they're developing them. I'm telling you, you build retention, you create a great culture, and you have more influence. All right, fifth thought, I've got to move on from this because I've been hanging on that for a while. Fifth thought is this: you've got to give feedback. If you're going to create great customers, you've got to give feedback. It goes with this communication with them. Listen, the best customer service representatives, they're clear, they're helpful. They're a guide to the customer. They're there to help them to say, okay, here's some ideas I think you could do. Here's how you could use the product. Here's how it could solve some of your needs. You tried this over here, but let me kind of redirect you a little bit. I think it would be better if you use the product this way. So you've got to give feedback. That means that you've got to be able to offer encouragement and correction at times. The guardrails of accountability, the thing that I teach all over all the time. The guardrails of accountability. As a leader, you've got to give feedback. And it's got to be quick. And you've got to make sure you're offering encouraging feedback all the time. But you've also got to correct sometimes. And I know that sounds harsh. I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm just saying sometimes we've got to make sure that things get back to where they need to be. Sometimes people are going a little bit out of bounds in their performance and their behavior and their actions, attitudes. And we've got to get them back on track. But as a leader, you've got to offer both. It can't be one or the other. If you're only offering encouragement, but you never correct and really have those hard conversations, you're never going to help somebody be a great customer and be able to be successful. But hey, vice versa, if you're always correcting, but you're never offering encouragement just to put wind in their sails, tell them they're doing a great job and picking out the things they're doing right, listen, that customer is going to get lost. You are a guide. As a leader, you are a guide to your team. And how do they stay on the path to progress if you're not giving them guardrails? They're just going to fall off to the side, one side or the other. If they're not getting encouragement, they're going to fall off that. If they're not getting correction, they're going to fall off and underperform, and no one's going to hold them accountable. It's got to be both. And you as the leader, the customer service guide, it's all about feedback. So you got to make sure, listen, people want feedback. They want to know how they're doing. Nobody wants to play a game where they don't know what the score is. Imagine if you were playing a basketball game and there were no scoreboard. You wouldn't know where you're at. Everybody wants to know where we're at, what the game is, what's happening in the game. Listen, your feedback is the scoreboard. That's how you help people know if we're winning, if we're losing, where we need to amp it up, where we need to correct, where we're doing great at, we just need to keep doubling down on. You've got to give feedback. So be committed to that as a leader. If you're going to work with a customer, so to speak, you're going to work with them through this, how to use the product and kind of advise them on how to make it happen. And when they run into troubles and they call you up in, you know, customer service and they say, hey, I'm having some issues with my product here. We're going to say, okay, well, talk to me about it. What happened? What's going on? Okay, let's troubleshoot this. Have you worked on this? Maybe we could go and we could do that. You get the point. Every customer service representative knows that they're going to have a time where people are going to call in and they've got questions about the product, about how to do things and where they're at and how to utilize it, or maybe they're having issues with it. It's not working. You as a great leader, customer service leader, you've got to be able to spend time and connect and develop your team. Be a guide for them so that they can be the best they can be, so that whatever you have handed them, whatever product, meaning responsibility, task, whatever authority, whatever you've given them to do, that when they have questions and they have to figure it out, you can help guide them by giving them feedback on how they're doing. So I want you to think about this today, guys, because this is so vital. Now, listen, here's, I'll kind of land the plane coming down on this thought right here. Would you follow you? Just think about that. If you were your leader, would you be a raving fan? Would you say, man, my leader is awesome. They are so good to me. They are so impactful to me. So would you follow you? Would you come back to work for you every day? Would you be willing to work for a little bit less compensation because you were following you? Now, that's a real self kind of reflection question right there. Would you buy into your vision? Would you feel seen, valued, and heard if you were your leader? So that question might sting a little bit, but you got to ask it because you have to take this serious. Listen, when we get this right, and if we lead like we are in customer service, your team's not just going to stay. They're not just going to survive. They're going to thrive. They're going to grow. They're going to stay on point on the mission. And guess what? They're going to bring others with them. They're going to talk good about them. When somebody else is saying something negative, they're going to go, whoa, not my leader. My leader is incredible. I'm telling you, our organization is great. And other people are going to say, well, I want to be a part of that. Just like referrals. I mean, if a customer is having a great time, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go talk to their friends and say, hey, man, you should use this product. It's great. I love it. Listen, when you're doing great leadership, you'll build a great organization because your team will start talking to other people. You want to do recruiting? Listen, here's how you know that you're building a culture that is unbelievable in your organization. When you go to hire and you've got all kinds of people that are referrals within your company of people that said, man, I heard about you through my friend who works for you, and they said it was so great here that I wanted to try to be a part of this thing. So I'm telling you, that is what it's all about. So I hope this was helpful to you. I want you to think about this, kind of flipping it inside out. If you were a leader of yourself, would you follow you? And if you are leading your team, they are your customers. What are you doing to create great fans? Hopefully five thoughts that helped you out here today. Guys, you are awesome. I love adding value to you. Keep listening to the podcast. Keep letting others know if it's added value to you. If there's anything I can do to help you and your organization, reach out directly to me, john@johnbarrettleadership.com. That goes right to me, and I'll communicate with you. We'll talk. We'll see what we can do to help you level up in your team, and anything that we can do. You guys are incredible. You're awesome.
Thanks for listening to the John Barrett Leadership Podcast. To get more of John's resources, visit www.johnbarrettleadership.com.